Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We have an open forum today. There's plenty to talk about. Let's just kick off with a look back over the weekend and what occurred yesterday in memorial to the 9/11 10th anniversary. As the nation observed the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, law enforcement around the country went on heightened security for possible terrorist threats. Ohio Public Radio State House News correspondent Joe Engels interviewed Ohio's Director of Homeland Security, Rob Glenn, about possible signs of terrorist activity in Ohio.
When you look at things that people are observing, government buildings, and they don't look like they really belong there, or pieces of infrastructure, like a power facility or something like that, that needs to be reported to law enforcement. When you think about somebody that maybe is aggressively trying to enter an event or trying to enter into some place where you know that they just don't belong, these are indicators, and that's what people need to be looking for.
Do you feel real comfortable about whether you know what the indicators are? Are we doing enough to protect against possible terrorist threats? And is the everyday citizen equipped to make those judgment calls? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. And you can go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. You can chat online. And you can tweet me at Ann Fisher, WOSU, if you want to talk about that or anything else. There's other issues out there. The Senate Plunderbund, the blog Plunderbund, reported week before last, September 3rd, that Senate President Tom Niehaus, leader of the Brain Trust, they write, behind a bill to strip benefits from rank-and-file public employees. But the point is that they have put together retroactive pay increases to their staff in the Senate, the upper level, the senior staff in the Senate, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars for some of them. Because it's retroactive. So do you think it's a time to think about giving state pay increases to state workers who work in the Senate and in the House? Now, the House chose not to do this, but Niehaus's chief of staff, assistant chief of staff, finance director, and Senate clerk all received a $15,000 yearly pay increase. The deputy finance director received a whopping, as Plunderbund put it, $23,005 increase. What do you think? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. There's usually someone out there that wants to talk about Senate Bill 5. What do you make of that? We're now officially into the campaign season. What do you make of Senate Bill 5? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. It's an open forum. If you want to talk about something, give us a call and let us know. Let's listen to something else now. Before President Obama presented his jobs bill to the Joint Houses of Congress, WOSU News reporter Tom Borgerding interviewed Mark Kwame. He's the chief investment officer of the state's new semi-private job board, Jobs Ohio. Let's listen.
The status quo, the way things have been done in the past, is not working. Oh, and by the way, it's not working on a national level. It's not working on a state level. It's not working on a municipal level. It's not working on a suburb level. We've got to make changes.
So what kind of changes would you like to see being made? Jobs Ohio will use leads from regional chambers of commerce to attract new business. In return, business recruitment groups such as Columbus 2020 will get a total of $2.5 million in state grants to dovetail its business recruitment program with Jobs Ohio. What do you think about that? Give us a call, 614-292-9678, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What did you think of the ceremonies yesterday? Did you attend one personally, locally, or out of town? Did you watch it on television? What did you think of the recitation of the names? I watched a lot of that, and I was surprised at first. I thought it would be a little redundant, but it wasn't, and I really liked how they had different survivors, family members of the victims that read the names and then added their family member, loved one on at the end. of their list and said maybe said a little something about them or maybe almost nothing at all, but had a chance to say their name out loud and have them be recognized. What'd you think about that? 614-292-8513. And Mark, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Ann. Thanks for taking my call this morning.
You're welcome, Mark.
Hey, I wanted to weigh in on the pay increases for the Senate staffers in Ohio.
Right.
If this is not hypocrisy, I don't know what is. This is just disgusting that we're all supposed to be tightening our belts, and then we're handing out, you know, five-digit pay raises to, you know, our people. What I found particularly revulsive about this and disgusting was the fact that one of the reasons given was that the staffers, they were given the raise based on their experience. Now, I think that's just a little bit hypocritical when you consider that we're talking about merit pay for teachers and that they shouldn't be promoted or given pay raise based on experience, but we turn around and give Senate staffers a pay raise based solely on experience?
Well, they said that they were worried that they might get lured away by more lucrative positions either in the governor's office or outside of government.
Yeah. You know, as someone who's tightening his own belt, trying to get through this economy, you know, this I have no sympathy at all for this position. This is disgusting, and I'm really looking forward to November because the way it looks now, this Senate Bill 5 is going down, and it looks like it's going to go down by a pretty big margin.
Okay. Well, Mark,
that's all I have to say.
Well, thanks for your call, Mark.
Thank you, Ann.
Take care. If you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have an open forum right now, so it's kind of up to you. What do you want to talk about? We like current events. So pick your current event and give us a call and tell us what you think. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Dan in Columbus, you can pick either House Bill 194 or Senate Bill 5. Which is it?
Well, House Bill 194 seems to be the most pressing issue with students around campus because
okay.
I live around campus. And, you know, it's really going to affect them because students move every year.
Well, tell folks what House Bill 194 does.
Sure.
And it's the...
Okay. House Bill 194 was election rule changes
right.
that the governor and the legislature passed earlier in the year. It was actually just a few weeks after we collected the signatures for Senate Bill 5. So there's no coincidence that they happened at the same time. But I will say that this is really going to affect people my age, students. We move around so much. Our addresses don't stay the same. It's really hard to educate students as it is on election law the way it stands. This is only going to make that more confusing. And I think people my age need to participate in the political process, and this is only going to impede that.
What does it do to students' voting rights?
Well, first of all, they don't have to tell you if you're at the wrong polling location, and that happens a lot on campus.
Because students move around so much.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing that it does is it requires us to have an ID, which is fine. Most students do have an ID. Unless they're from out of state, and the university has been printing off, you know, $0 bills for us over the past 4 years that we can vote with, and that had been, you know, served as ID. That's no longer going to be available because it has to be coupled with, you know, a photo ID now. So this whole thing about, you know, confusing voters, confusing students, minorities, transient people, really. You know, it just cuts to the heart of what the country, I think, is supposed to be all about.
Okay, Dan. Thanks
all right,
for your
thank
call.
You.
And thanks for sticking to one subject. I appreciate it. 614-292-8513. If you want to join the open forum, what do you want to talk about? Let's stick with current events if we can. Appreciate that all the time. And Russell in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. You want to talk about unemployment? There's a current event for you.
How you doing today? I do like your show. I listen quite a bit. I like to listen to different opinions and obviously make up my own, which that's why I like your show the most.
Thank you, Russell.
Because you you guys aren't leaning to the left or to the right so hard that you can actually, if you do have somebody on the left and right, you can actually make up your own decision, which I really appreciate. One thing I do see is that obviously we know that 25% of all the high school kids today are dropping out in our country, and I think that we're dumping them into the society where they don't have any training, no classes, that, you know, like almost like a boot camp they could have where they could get some special training in certain things that could help their future and obviously help all of our people. So I think that's a big thing that we need to look at.
We were talking about jobs issues, I think it was last week, maybe the week before, and there are tens of thousands of jobs that go unfilled in Ohio because there aren't people trained to do the job.
It's amazing. I just think that if our, and I hate to say this, but we do have some good teachers, and we have some teachers that they get their tenure in, and I think they think they can walk on water, but I feel like, you know, they need to inspire these children, and I actually think it's probably in that 6th, 7th grade, 8th grade level that they can either bring them up or bring them down. And if a kid's struggling and having troubles and the parent obviously wants the teacher to help them out, it just doesn't seem like our system's working really well to help motivate them. But just like you have a good coach, bad coach, you know, a good coach can inspire kids and, you know, make them try harder, and that's the same as a teacher. You have teachers that are not really too excited, and then you've got teachers that are excellent, and they do a great job.
What do you think about, speaking of inspiration, linking sports with grades?
Well, you know, that's a problem I have. I have a big problem with that because my son had a disability, and I called OHSAA, which is an organization which I don't believe in too well. The reason why is because they hold children back from getting into sports if they really want to be in a sport. And I think it's unfortunate because I think a good coach can actually inspire a child just as much as a good teacher. And, you know, instead of kicking the kids out, give them a chance to prove themselves, and they might even turn their grades around just because they feel like they're maybe needed or maybe somebody really appreciates them. You know, you go to a stage in your life where you're going through adolescence, you know, that good coach can pull you around, and I think it shouldn't be linked with sports. I think that, unfortunately, we strive on that too hard. I disagree with OHSAA for sure.
You know, lots of times it's just that before we went too far the other way where, you know, the high school athletes got a free ticket to ride through high school. Do you just think it's an overreaction, or do you think there's something in the middle that might minimum grades? Or
I think it goes both ways, but I feel like, you know, at least we catch some of the kids and maybe turn them around, whereas, you know, worst case scenario, what we're doing, really, here's what we're doing. Kids with grades that are having trouble, struggling, whatever, we're kicking them out on the street. Maybe they'll do drugs. Maybe they'll go out and do something crazy, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think getting them off the streets is more important than worried about how they're getting through high school, because even if a kid is a great athlete in high school, it doesn't mean he's even going to play college. And the odds are he's probably going to get hit by lightning twice than if he's going to make it to the pros. So, I mean, you know, it's a pipe dream, but, you know, hey, it's you know, Michael Jordan got cut off at junior high basketball, so anything's possible.
Well, and just one more before we take a break here is the issue of pay-to-play. I mean, a lot of kids just can't afford it. Now, a lot of schools have scholarship funds available, but still it's a, you know, you got to, you know, some people won't go to a scholarship fund.
Well, yeah, I can see what you're saying there. The one thing I would do as a parent, I'd probably try to find an affordable way, even if it was a rec league of some sort, just to get my kid out there, getting him out, you know, at least getting him in doing something instead of sitting on the couch playing video games, because I don't think that's helping him at all either. I think getting the blood flowing, getting yourself going and getting in shape, which is kind of what our theme is for our country now, because we're all overweight and eat too many sandwiches and whatever else we do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Russell, thanks for that call.
Hey, thanks again. I appreciate your show.
Thank you, Russell. 614-292-8513. That's the number to call. If you want to talk to us like Russell did, you can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is an open forum, and you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, the job market's terrible. Are Americans ready to work for less? Should they be? Or is that the wrong way to go? We'll debate. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point begins this afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News. Mostly sunny skies today, a high of 83 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 62. Sunshine for Tuesday and a high of 85. And then some evening showers and thunderstorms for Tuesday. An overnight low of 58 degrees.
Connect Ohio is offering free computer training. Find out how you can use broadband to update your resume, increase your education, look for jobs online, and even get your degree. More than 70% of Ohioans use the internet to stay in touch with family and friends, to access government services, to shop, and more. The training is free at your local library or community college. Find classes in your area by calling 1-855-NOW-I-CAN. Get connected. Life is better with broadband.
All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We have an open forum today. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. WOSU News question of the day. Will President Obama's jobs plan work? President Obama tomorrow visits Columbus trying to sell the jobs plan he unveiled last week. It calls for a mix of tax cuts, help for the unemployed, and spending on road and bridge repairs. Will it help the economy? Leave your thoughts at WOSU.org/news. You can also call us right now and answer the question on All Sides today during our open forum. But if you want to answer it online, WOSU.org/news. Will President Obama's jobs plan work? You can email us at allsides@wosu.org as well if you want to do that. And you can go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. Chris in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
Ma'am, I'm trying to stick to your most current topic, but
sure.
I don't think a jobs plan is going to work as long as these folks keep increasing their pay raises and whatnot, and they're primarily failing at their job. And to reward them by giving people pay raises that are failing at their jobs, and I just don't see where anything is going to change until they start being accountable for failing at their job.
So when you're talking about them failing at their jobs, are you talking about the senior staff that support the lawmakers, or are you talking about the lawmakers?
I'm talking about, you know, your state, local, and federal government agencies.
Okay.
And you know, especially in the legislative branch where they're actually, you know, forming laws and making critical decisions, and on top of that, with the economy, you know, they're failing at their jobs, yet they deserve a pay raise, and that really just kind of bothers me.
Okay. Well, Chris, thanks for giving us a call.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care. You bet. Chris called us at 614-292-8513, so can you, and you can email us as well at allsides@wosu.org. Jean, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I wanted to say that we saw America at its best yesterday in respecting so much, again, the 3,000 lives that were tragically lost, but I see an inconsistency there because there's this growing movement to vilify the EPA and other organizations with rules that save lives, like the EPA saves 160,000 lives a year, and new proposed rules, which are going to save more money to us as a whole than they would cost, would save another 7,000 to 20,000 lives a year and so forth. And I just don't know why we're not allowed to respect these lives. I don't buy the argument that it would cost jobs because corporate profits are at record levels. They could pay for air pollution equipment, I think, some of the large companies. So I was bothered. I wish we'd respect all life.
Well, regulations seem to be uniformly condemned as job killers, that they're too hard on businesses and businesses have to spend too much time following rules and regulations when they could be putting people back to work.
I hear that argument, but again, corporate profits are at record levels. It seems like we've got the money to hire people, and I think the universal condemnation is artificial. I think that clean air is something we can accomplish and have jobs too.
Okay. Well, Jean, thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Josh and Marion, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann.
Hi, Josh.
Thanks for my call, mm-hmm. for allowing you to speak. Mm-hmm. Some week or 10 days ago, this show, I believe, addressed an issue, a piece of legislation that, and I believe I know who the legislator is, but I won't mention her name because I can't be sure of that, but had introduced a piece of legislation that would prohibit employers from discriminating against those who had been on the unemployment line for a very long time. There are some tremendously adverse effects to such a policy, and maybe if I had a minute, I could outline those.
Okay.
I'm a small employer of a construction company. Back in 2009, we had 5 or 6 employees. I unfortunately had to lay off 2 or 3 of those individuals. 2 of them have now extended their benefits past 2 years. The experience of their unemployment has now come back to me. We're looking to now get started again and hire. We're actually doing some hiring. We build apartments, and that business has gotten good.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found out now that we're now back into payroll is instead of being credit rated as I was before, I'm paying almost 13% of all of the employees that now exist with me. I'm paying 13% of their wages towards unemployment because my experience got so high with those that were unemployed earlier. To enact a policy that prohibits employers from having the freedom of deciding who they'll hire,
mm-hmm.
the adverse effect of that is those employees that are out there that went from 40 hours a week down to 30, down to 25, and held on and took pay cuts and did all the sacrifices they had to do to keep their job are now being penalized against those who were on 2 years' worth of unemployment. And when you pass a law, and I don't believe it'll pass, but should a law ever be passed like that, it won't help those that are unemployed either. It will just encourage employers not to hire anybody, those that are currently employed or those that are unemployed. We will just say, we're not hiring because our experience is already too high, and if this employee doesn't work out for whatever reason, it's not going to be 13, it'll be 14, it'll be 15%. And you just can't afford that, so you cut the line and you just stop hiring. And I think a lot of employers are in that boat.
Josh, let me ask you about the hiring thing. And I know you're not hiring maybe the volumes that could be mostly affected by this. But as a small business owner, as usual, you don't have the economies of scale either to pass things around. But what about hiring somebody who's been unemployed for a long period of time? There is indications out there that they're discriminated against, that once you're off the rolls, employment rolls for a year or two, they'd rather get someone who hasn't been off for so long. They'd rather hire someone who's more recently worked. What about that?
I think that that exists. I agree with the legislator. I believe there are employees or employers out there that say, what have you done for the last 2 years? And the employee says, well, I've been on unemployment. And I think that it does remark badly on that employee in the employer's eyes. However, I believe her solution, that isn't all the cases. There are mm-hmm. some employers that say, well, this employee looks anxious to work. They haven't had a job in 2 years. They'll be grateful for the job I give them, and they'll produce. So there's that side of it, too. Not all employers have the same opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But to pass this legislator's law, it doesn't help anyone because it sends a signal out that now you have to prove that you aren't the type of employer that discriminates. And you'll just avoid that argument with the government altogether by just not hiring. You'll just say, I don't care if you were unemployed for 4 months. I don't care if you were unemployed for 2 years. I'm not going to hire either one because I don't want to have that litigious argument with probably that law would be governed by the Civil Rights Division at the state. You're just going to avoid that conversation altogether, and you're going to hire a sub. At least in my profession, you're going to hire a sub. You're going to do
like
more
a temp type thing, or
You're going to hire temporary to a temporary service that pay less than a bona fide employee normally would pay. So I just feel those are the consequences. I heard about it. You know, I vote. This legislator is the same party as I am, and I've met her personally. I believe I've met her personally because I only heard the story once, but I don't want to use her name in vain. But she's a very nice woman, and I think she's well-intentioned, but I think her law will just have some adverse effects that will keep people unemployed instead of what she really wants to do.
What advice would you give for folks out there who have been unemployed for a long time and are what can they do to impress an employer, in your opinion?
What they can do is this. Do not go to your next job interview and say, I have done nothing for 2 years. I don't care if you take a week's worth of work cleaning a house, doing someone's lawn, and then you report that. All right. Yes, there's a penalty if you report earnings. It's generally taken out of your unemployment. They, you know, say, well, you're allowed to make $50 a week without it coming out of your unemployment. And after that, we're going to take it dollar for dollar out of your benefit. Do it anyway, because at least that shows to your next employer, I didn't lay on the couch for 2 years or do whatever you fear that I did for 2 years. I went out and took every job that was given to me, every job that was available. And if you make that stand in front of your employer, I think you've got a great chance of getting that job, but you've got to show a willingness to just not sit still. You can't sit still in this world.
What about volunteer work and that sort of thing?
Volunteer work is excellent. If you go and you're unemployed, even if you're working, not making a dime, you're working for the Salvation Army or Habitat for Humanity, these are the things you need to put, and I'm speaking as a contractor, but if a guy came to me and said, I've been unemployed for 2 years, I haven't been able to find bona fide work, but I have gone to Habitat for Humanity and worked every Saturday, then I'm going to say this person stayed fresh, they stayed in their field, they still know how to drive a hammer, and they have a willingness to work. That prejudice against people that sit for 2 years and the thought is, well, they just don't want to work, that goes away then. You say this person stayed active.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's volunteer work. Helps.
Makes a difference.
And make sure your employer knows that that's what you're doing.
Okay. Josh, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Your show's great.
Thank you.
Take care.
WOSU News, question of the day. Will President Obama's jobs plan work? President Obama is going to visit Columbus tomorrow. He's trying to sell the jobs plan he unveiled last week. We had a show about it. It calls for a mix of tax cuts and help for the unemployed and spending on infrastructure, things like roads and bridge repairs and also high-speed rail if your state has availed itself of that in the past. Will it help the economy? Leave your thoughts at WOSU.org/news, or you can call us and answer the question on All Sides today, right now, during our open forum. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What do you want to talk about? It's an open forum for the next 25 minutes or so. So Ohio's Republican Senator Rob Portman is one of 12 members of the so-called debt supercommittee charged with lowering the deficit over the next 10 years. Let's listen to what he said in his opening address to the committee.
We should aim higher. We should aim to do what's necessary to bring long-term sustainability to the federal budget. But let's at least hit our $1.5 trillion target. And let's keep in mind that long-term sustainability also means that merely reaching the 10-year target isn't enough. The quality of reforms matter more than the quantity of reforms.
Senator Portman has said he's open to tax reform to bring the deficit under control, but he leans towards spending cuts. Where do you fall? You're looking for a mix? Are you more for spending cuts? Do you think there needs to be reform of the tax structure, further reform? Lord knows there's been reform galore. Over the years. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you could talk to the president when he visits Columbus tomorrow, what would you ask him about his jobs package? You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. It's an open forum today, so it's you can take charge here a little bit. Tell me what current event you want to talk about. We'll put you on the air. You can also email us, and you can go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. And we've got some calls coming in right now. We're screening them, so just talk to the screener and keep it simple, and we'll get you on the air sooner rather than later. I wonder what you think about the 9/11 memorials yesterday. Did you watch them on television? Did you attend any locally? Let us know how it went, what you thought. A decade later, there's something magic about a decade. So we all know, we don't know why. It's a human nature thing. We like to do things in fives and tens and 20s and that sort of thing. And it was the 10th. Amazingly, 10 years has passed by. Doesn't seem possible. 614-292-8513. And Nathan, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Nathan.
I got kind of a rebuttal about that Josh guy that was calling a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, he owns a small construction company for Marion. Yeah.
I have a degree in network administration. Mm-hmm. I graduated in 2008 from DeVry, mm-hmm, University here in Columbus. And most of the employers out there want at least 2 to 3 years experience. Well, because I was a new graduate, no one was hiring. And I haven't really been able to find a job in that field since then. And because the computer technology and network technology just goes at such an exponential rate that, you know, you open up a computer box and poof, it's obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
And the technology for networking is the same. You know, everything I've learned is almost ancient history now. And since I don't have any experience, no one's hiring. And I want to know what Josh has to say about trying to find work in the field, but no one's hiring because you have no experience.
And now you're buying the eight ball. You just don't have, you can't build, get experience without being employed.
Correct. And I'm, you know, 50,000 in the hole, and I can't go back to school.
Right.
And I'm, you know, stuck. I've been unemployed for a year through no fault of my own. And I'm taking care of our daughter during the day, so I can't go out and volunteer during the day while my wife is at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I would actually like to see my wife once in a while, so that's what the weekends are for. So, you know, I'm kind of pretty well stuck. And there's no network administration jobs that will train during the night, which is what I would need.
Right. So if you go back to work, do you get somebody else to take care of your child?
Yeah, I would.
Is that the plan?
If you could afford it.
Right. Oh, I see what you're talking about. It's places that'll take you on to train. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Nathan, good point. And if Josh wants to give us a call back, I mean, we could go back and forth. There's going to be a million variations on this theme, you know, as you know. But in general, do you think that employers should be forced to hire people just because they've been long-term unemployed, or should they be still given the freedom to hire whoever they think is the best candidate?
I don't think they should be forced to hire someone that's mm-hmm. been unemployed for so long. I don't think that should even become an issue. They shouldn't look at how long has this person been unemployed or how recently has this person been employed. They should just, oh, he has this experience, and is really eager to learn. Okay, we'll hire him
mm-hmm.
or her, as the case may be.
Okay. All right, Nathan, good luck in that job search.
Thanks.
We know it's tough out there. We are having an open forum right now on All Sides, so we look forward to hearing from more of you. We've got calls waiting. We'll get to those. If you want to email us at allsides@wosu.org. And you can also check out the Facebook page. Sometimes that's a very effective way to get through. So go to All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, or you can tweet at Ann Fisher, WOSU. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm sorry, Mama.
Cooper, I know you're sorry. That's why it's going to hurt so much to have to do this.
Yeah. Hey!
Margot Martindale is up for an Emmy for her portrayal of the brutal matriarch of an Appalachian family that controls a drug empire in the FX series Justified. We'll talk with Margot Martindale on the next Fresh Air. Join us.
Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon on 89.7 NPR News. And time is running out for your opportunity to join WOSU for a Chefs in the City Ohio beer tasting. Just visit WOSU.org/chefs right now and reserve your tickets. The event is in the outdoor beer garden at the historic Granville Inn on September 14th. Local food hors d'oeuvres will be paired with a selection of beers from some of Ohio's best breweries. You can also look for information about the Granville Inn's lodging specials. Tickets are $45 each. Visit WOSU.org/chefs to reserve your seat.
Support for 89.7 comes from Ohio Northern University, where a student-centered environment and nationally ranked arts, sciences, and professional programs help students discover their true north. Experience ONU Days October 12th and 15th. Information is at onu.edu.
Sunny skies today and a few clouds as well, a high of 83 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 62. Some sunshine for Tuesday, a high of 85, and then evening showers and thunderstorms. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
It's an open forum on All Sides today. What do you want to talk about? 614-292-8513. The WOSU News question of the day. Will President Obama's jobs plan work? President's going to be in town tomorrow trying to sell his jobs plan. He unveiled it last week. It calls for a mix of tax cuts, help for the unemployed, and spending on road and bridge repairs, among other things. Do you think it'll help the economy? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. And Len in Lewis Center, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Len.
Well, hi, Ann. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You know, I think the job bill will work in the short run. It can't help but if you throw a lot of money out and get people jobs. But in the long run, it's going to cost the taxpayers money when we can't afford to have it cost us money. And I think the only way we can ever be really competitive is to be able to sell things overseas, and that way we can get ourselves out of the deficit. Because if we don't sell anything overseas, we're not going to get out of the deficit.
Because that's where the markets are. You know, I was listening to an economist talk last Friday for a group I was moderating, and he said that it's technically best to do nothing, that at this point it's going to be a short-term infusion, there'll be some uptick, but over the long haul it's best to do absolutely nothing. And when he says absolutely nothing, he means no tax cuts, no tax hikes, no nothing, do nothing. What do you think about that, given the political pressure that's put on the president to do something?
Well, I think that fellow did have a good point, except maybe the one thing that we could do is to keep us more competitive is to make sure that the American worker works at a wage that is competitive with the rest of the world. And I know that's not a popular thing because people want to make as much money as they can. But if the labor unions are able to dictate in any way, shape, or form what the wages are going to be, which is always up, we're not going to be competitive, and we're going to be losers in the long run.
You think the wages are always up with unions? It sounds like they've been taking a lot of concessions, making a lot of concessions in the last few years.
Well, they have, but I think what they would like to do is to raise the wages. I know there's pressure already on, say, Ford Motors to increase wages or benefits, mm-hmm, or whatever, and Ford Motors is in a position where they've not paid the shareholders a dividend, and I'm thinking maybe 15 years. And here these people have owned stock, they've invested their money in it, and the price of the stock is down to pennies on the dollar. And so why should they invest anymore in say, Ford Motors or some of the other big companies? And so everybody's a loser, and including the workers, if the jobs get shipped overseas or the companies go under.
Right. Okay.
We've got to have pure, like you said, pure competition without anybody being able to band together.
Okay. Len, thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye. David and Bexley, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, David.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I think it's basic. There's always a cycle where Republicans just get in there and destroy the economy by letting the corporations take over and do whatever they want. What we need to do is create more jobs, which creates more income, which reduces the deficit. Instead of worrying about the deficit now, we need to worry about employment now, because people are suffering right now. And I think the effort made toward infrastructure makes a lot of sense, because we're going to need it anyway. And the effort made toward getting people employed makes sense, because it helps do two things. It gets people employed, and it reduces the deficit because they pay more taxes. And also there needs to be more tax fairness, because corporations and the wealthiest of Americans have had their taxes reduced over the last 10 to 20 years, and the average citizens have their taxes go up. So nobody likes that. That's just basic unfairness.
Okay. So deficit reduction, hold it off until we have some more moolah coming in.
Well, it just makes sense. It just makes sense because you get people employed, they pay taxes instead of the government paying them unemployment.
Okay. David, thanks for your call. Take care. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have a couple emails. One is from Jesse. He writes, for your caller, Nathan, that just called about having a network administration degree from DeVry and cannot find a job because he has no experience, tell him to look into various consulting assignments that are offered by a number of tech staffing agencies in Central Ohio. There are tons of opportunities out there, whether he has experience or not. Some are very basic, and he surely should be able to get in somewhere. Thanks for that suggestion, Jesse. An email from Toby. Ann, as a small business owner, I would like to ask Mr. Josh, your recent caller, talking about hiring to run for public office. That type of common sense approach is exactly what is missing in Columbus and Washington. Thanks for that email, Toby. If you want to email us, the address is allsides@wosu.org. Beth, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Beth.
Hi. I know. I call you a lot.
It doesn't feel like you do.
Thanks, you know, I just don't understand. A friend of mine and I have been talking about it. You know, they can call it the Great Recession. I'm calling it a depression. And during the Great Depression, one of the things that was successful was that Roosevelt established a WPA program. And I don't understand, you know, without the WPA, we wouldn't have had the lodges and the things that are in the public parks. The closest thing we have is AmeriCorps, and the amount of money that you know, and I've tried applying, the amount of money that they give you is just obscenely low. Mm-hmm. They only give you $5,500 to forgive your student loans, and God knows they have more than that, or a $500 stipend. There's no... there's very little in terms of income cover or housing coverage, nor is there any money for food. So you'd have to go on food stamps in order to do this work that's supposed to be helping, like the CRC Community Bank. I'm going to go ahead and volunteer for them anyway, because I need to be doing more, having more experience with doing some copy and marketing writing material, and also training manuals and things like that,
mm-hmm.
which I would recommend for that guy who just got his data administration degree. But, I mean, come on. It wasn't even $800 stipend. And I just don't understand if these organizations are hurting that much for people, and there are so many people with so many good qualities that could be doing this work. They need to at least give you something in return.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to live on. That's not even enough to live on. And they also won't allow you to work outside of doing the
right
job for America.
Well, those are full-time jobs, though. I mean, I don't know how you would do much more. I mean, it's a full-time job.
Right, I understand, but if they made it a part-time job and allowed you to get some outside work,
mm-hmm.
you know, it would be doable, or make it a wage that you know, is livable.
Okay. Beth, thank you for your call.
Okay.
Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Dave in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Dave.
How you doing, Ann?
Good.
Well, basically, I was just calling regarding, you know, the pay raises.
In the Ohio Senate, yeah.
Right. And, you know, I like to see anybody and everybody getting pay raises just because that reflects on me. I mean, if they have some money to spend, you know, I feel it. I've got an independent business, and I do, I do mold remediation for property transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they have money to be able to take care of their transactions, you know, people don't want to come into an area where they have, you know, issues as far as air quality and so on.
Right.
They'll spend it. But if they don't have that money, then they can't, you know.
So, in other words, if you give more money to these folks, they're out spending more money.
I think that's true across the board. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, if people, you know, have that money to spend, I mean, if they're like me, they spend it. However, if they don't have it, they don't have it, and they can't.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, my business suffers. And, you know, I've seen that throughout Ohio and Michigan, you know, two places I do business. And if they don't have that cash flow, then, you know, they can't hire me to do work, which, you know, turns their property around and makes it more feasible for, you know, someone else who can live there.
Okay. All right. Well, Dave, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Take care.
I like your show. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See, Zach in Worthington, I am looking for you. Hi, Zach. You're
hey,
on the
how's
air.
How's it going?
Good.
How's it going, Ann?
Good.
What I want to talk about today is a book called 1 Second After.
Okay.
And it's about 1 second before all the electronics in the, like, you know, the whole population are working. And then the next second, after an EMP goes off, all the electronics have failed.
Okay, what's an EMP? Wait.
I'm sorry. It's an electromagnetic pulse.
Okay, gotcha.
And it's technology that a lot of people have. And, I mean, it's a real threat because, I mean, you know, all the car sensors and things, they would stop working. So all cars would stop. And then all communication would stop. Like, this program would stop. Yeah, I know. We want that. But, I mean, all communication would stop. Television. Everybody's iPhone out there, all the things that we take for granted would just stop.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and then it explains that for people to survive, that you would have to have 16th century technology where, like, farming and, like, you would have to provide your own food source. And the people that would have the most, you know, things would be the people with, like, medications, like antibiotics.
Right.
I mean, if these kind of things happen.
Well, wait, this is a book, right?
Yeah.
Is it a disaster book? Or, I mean, does electricity come back, or is that it? Once the EMP goes off, it's off.
Well, I'm in the Guard, and I went to the NCO club, and one of the higher-up guys just recommended the book to me, so I read it. And, I mean, it's a possibility. These things can happen.
I'm sorry. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So what is the book? What's the theme of the book? What is the book suggesting?
It's set in a town in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happens is the EMP goes off. And then after the EMP goes off, it talks about, you know, I mean, people will go to the store and they'll stock up. But when you don't have any transportation to get the food to the store, the food's all going to run out.
Right.
So then, I mean, people are going to start, you know, killing each other, and disease is going to spread. And it talks about, I don't know if it's too racy, but like the elderly and the people. people that are on, you know, life support, I mean, they're going to be the first to die. And then, mm-hmm. you know, and then people that are, like, diabetic and people that need insulin.
Right.
I mean, insulin needs to be refrigerated. And if an EMP went off in your area, there's not going to be any refrigeration because that requires electricity. I mean, even the generators that are, like, those auto generators that work for a certain amount of time, those would be kicked off.
Well, because they depend on gasoline, a lot of them, yeah. or some kind
electricity.
Of electricity. Right, right.
Everything that has to do with electricity would be wiped out. So, yeah. It's
pretty okay, cool. Zach.
Yeah, and to your previous callers, I suggest the libertarian mindset. That'll get them through their problems. But
okay.
It was nice talking to you.
All right, Zach. Take care.
Right,
bye.
You.
Yep. Kevin in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you for taking my call today.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to make a comment listening to a couple of the callers concerning, one, the gentleman who made a comment about union wages and Ford, about the shareholders not getting a return for their investment.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand as an investor that obviously you're investing to make money. But I also look at Ford is obviously one example, but then you look at Chevy and some of the other companies that receive TARP money. Is it any more fair that you invested in a company that basically the government was paying your wage, that you're expecting a return on that? But he wants to relate it to the union breakdown and union wages, but I see a strong correlation with right now they want to really hit the unions that it's the union's fault for raising wages, making the decrease in productivity cost too much. And then we look at the Senate and look at government where they're voting themselves pay raises. I really see a correlation with business that we've got these businesses. Obviously, gas is an easy one to see how they're making record profits. And do you see that really trickling down, or is it that CEOs are making more than ever? So I just to draw the correlation maybe to think about that as we look at business, and obviously business has to be doing well for the country to do well, but is there a disparity of the CEOs, whether it's CEO of a company or a politician, that they're making more at the top than they ever have,
right.
And it's really not trickling down to the worker. So that's just to draw that correlation, if I could.
All right. But just for the record, in the Senate, it sounds like the senior staff makes a lot more than most of the senators or the House members do, but point taken, Kevin.
That's a good point because, honestly, the first thing in my mind there, again, you go back to the CEOs. You've got such a minority that is making the majority of the wealth, and whether it's business and unfortunately, to a certain extent, in government. Mm-hmm. So, but thank you for your time.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Bye.
And thanks to everybody for the calls and emails today on All Sides Open Forum. Appreciate your interest and hope you'll join us next time. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.